Well, 4 years in the preparation, according to Jonathan. So this should be some sermon, shouldn't it? I can't promise that. But when the word of God is preached, attended by his Holy Spirit, we pray that God would feed us on his word. We're going to read from the Gospel of John, but that's not our text verse this morning. So you're going to need two fingers in your Bible. John chapter 1, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But beforehand, before we read, I'm going to be a bit cheeky. I'd like to read a poem to you. It's a poem that was written for our Thursday Club members. Our Thursday Club is a club run for people, adults with learning difficulties. And I changed a couple of words from Thursday Club to caring for life. Perhaps you'll identify it. It goes like this. Last night, when I went off to bed, I had the strangest of dreams. I dreamt I died in my sleep and I went to heaven, it seems. I walked along a heavenly path till I came to heaven's gate. I stood outside and rang a bell, and for St. Peter I did wait. But someone else came to welcome me, and to my surprise, some people who I thought I knew, but I couldn't quite recognize. They held out their hand and spoke my name, but I just wasn't sure. They all looked so familiar. I'd seen them somewhere before. And then they looked straight at me, with smiles upon their face. You know us from Caring for Life. And they gave me a huge embrace. And so we walked together down the path, and I could hear a choir sing. It sounded like the angels of heaven singing praises to the King. And I saw some more from Caring for Life, and I couldn't believe my eyes, for they all looked so different. And yet each one I recognized. There were some there who were standing there, who on earth they couldn't walk. And others singing with sweetest voice, who on earth they couldn't talk. And some on earth had bodies frail, who were often bent over with pain. But now they were standing tall and straight and praising Jesus' name. With minds and bodies so renewed, they lifted their hearts in praise. And joined with all the saints above throughout heaven's eternal days, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb of God." And now I could understand that God does truly have the whole world in his hand. And as I looked upon my friends, it was such a wondrous sight. I knew the truth that I had heard, that God will do what he thinks right. And then I awoke. Was it just a dream, or a message from heaven above, to go and tell everyone at Caring for Life that truly God is love? Amen. Let's read the word of God, John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, which is our text for this morning, says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now the story's told of Peter the Great, the Tsar of Russia, who looked out one night from his palace and he could see on the hillsides the flickering lights of the small hamlets and villages around. And he said he'd like to go and see how they lived. They said they'd know who you are. And so he disguised himself as a peasant to go out into the villages. And he went into the inns and taverns there. And then one man stopped him. As he recognized him, he bowed down before him. He said, "Oh yes, you may be dressed in poverty, but it's the voice of majesty." And this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 speaks of the God of heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, dressing himself in humanity. And we're going to look at this verse and we're going to ask three questions. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich..." How rich is the first question? "That for your sakes he became poor." How poor? Question two. And question three, "That you through his poverty might be rich." How rich? So let's ask the first question. That though he was rich, how rich is the Lord Jesus Christ when we speak of him? Spurgeon said it's like starting something which you can't end. When you speak about the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to try just under three headings just to look at how rich was the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, we can say he was rich in person. Because he's the Lord Jesus Christ. We read even from John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word." The Word speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when John wrote his gospel, the philosophers of the day looked around the world and said, just like people do today, there could or there is a cause behind it all. There must be someone who set things in motion. It can't just be by chance. And all the philosophers, as John wrote that, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," they would say, yes, there must be. Now, how do you and I express ourselves? Well, mainly through the Word. And the philosophers, and John, as he introduces this, said, God has expressed himself through the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Lord Jesus Christ is that Word. And John introduces in verse 14 of chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the philosophers there would balk at that. But here was God saying, Christ, who is rich in his person, is the Son of God and God the Son, God manifest in the flesh, in the beginning, before time began. John said, didn't he, to his hearers, that he is the one who has come down from heaven, showing to us that he's rich in his person. And he asked his hearers in John chapter 6, what would you think if you saw me ascend up from where I was before? That he is the Son of God and has come down from heaven. And Jesus clearly understood his followers to know who he was, that he's rich in his person. When he prayed in John chapter 17, "Oh, now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the world was made." He's rich in his person. The Son of God. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in his person, God the Son, Son of God, came down." He's rich in power. John chapter 1 tells us, verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made," because he is the Creator God. Rich in his power. Colossians chapter 1 tells us, "By him were all things created. All things were created by him and for him." Now, I don't know if you're a bit like me. I love to watch nature programs. My son, he seems to have every David Attenborough DVD that he's ever produced, and he watches them. When I was his age, it wasn't Natural World and all these things. It was programs like Survival. Do you remember that? They do exactly the same thing, and I loved them. And I'd love to see the beauty and the design and the order and everything. And I would say, God has made it all. And yet you go to school today and you say it's all by chance and all these other things. And yet we're speaking about one who's rich in power, who spoke and the world came about, who gives us our very next breath, who's framed us all together. And we're told by that very same word of power, he upholds us all now. And yet I listened to David Attenborough and I could quote a song. And then you go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like, it evolved. It doesn't make sense to me to see the beauty, the wonder, the design, the upholding of all things by one who is rich in power. The Creator God, the Sustainer God. By him, says Colossians chapter 1, all things consist. Hebrews tells us upholding all things by that same word of power. The Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he's rich in his person because he is God the Son and the Son of God. He's rich in his power because he is the one who has made the world and made you and me and gives us our very next breath and who upholds all things by that very same word. Thirdly, we could say he's rich in purity. We often use the term holiness, and we often describe it in the term of negatives, don't we? Without sin, without spot, without blemish. And yet, we have angels who are without sin, without spot, without blemish. And in Isaiah chapter 6, they have to veil their faces when they look upon the person of God in his Trinity. Holy, 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 they cry. Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Spirit, because they cannot look upon the purity and the holiness of God. He dwells in light unto which no man can approach. And the angels veil their face. And we say, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who left heaven's glory and veiled himself in flesh, is pure. There was no other good enough to take away our sin except for the pure Son of God. If we carried on reading in John chapter 1, and those who would read his word in that first century, he would have said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away, John the Gospel writer reads, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And everyone who heard that would know that the Lamb who was shed for the sins of the Jewish nation would have to be pure and spotless, without blemish. And he says to a man coming towards him, here is the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, to be a sacrifice to take away the sins of the whole world. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, how rich? We could go on for the rest of our time. But he's rich in person. We're speaking about God, the Son. The Son of God. How rich? Rich in his power, who created and upholds this world in which we live. Rich in his purity, the spotless Lamb of God. And yet the verse goes on, doesn't it? It says, yet for your sakes he became poor. How poor? Jesus laid aside temporarily his glory, to be found in fashion as a man, to take on humanity. He did not lay aside his divinity. He is still God in the flesh. And yet when you look at the life of Jesus, we see how poor did he become. He stepped down out of heaven and the praises of eternity of the angels, and he was born. He's poor in his birth, isn't he? Where were they expecting him to be born? Even the wise men went to the palace because they expected a king. And yet he's born in a stable. He's poor in his birth. He's poor throughout his life. The town in which he was brought up in Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, they said? Can anything else come from there, they said? And what did he learn? He wasn't a high flyer. Like if he was born today, where would they expect him to be? The head of Microsoft or some other global organization? No, he trains as a carpenter. A humble trade. Poor in his life. Did he have anything? He wanted to use an illustration once. And he had to borrow a penny to use it. Did he have anywhere to live when he left his home? No, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And when he did rest up, he'd go to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, because he was poor in his life. And then he's poor in his death, isn't he? Left by his friends, those that he'd been with for 3 years, who even said to him, Lord, I'll stay by you even if it's unto death. And when the mob comes, they turn and flee, and there's no one around. And he's left, as it were, sweating, as it were, drops of blood, and betrayed and poor in his death. And even as he goes before Pilate, he says, which will you have, this thief and murderer and liar and cheat called Barabbas, or Jesus, of which they could find nothing wrong with him? And they cry out, don't they? Barabbas, Barabbas, release him. And poor in his death, bereft of all his friends. And you can picture as we read through the Gospels, everyone gone and the Roman soldiers scourging him and mocking him, spitting on him and pulling his beard and crying out, he saved others, let him save himself. And even as he dies, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then when they bury him, it's in a borrowed tomb. He's poor in his birth, his life, and his death. The Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. The hymn writer, and there's often an argument, emptied himself of all but love. For your sakes, says this verse, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. If we've come to know this Lord Jesus Christ, through his grace, through his shed blood, through his life leaving heaven, living a life which we could never live, dying the death which we deserve, and raising again and opening salvation and coming by his complete and atoning grace, then how rich are we this morning if we're a Christian? That you, through his poverty, might be rich. How rich are we this morning? Well, firstly, we can say this. We're rich in peace. Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has washed away all our sins. Know there are many things that will stay in our memories. They'll stay with us for life. And yet we can say, they're gone. Jesus' blood has never failed us, we heard this morning. Never. And though we will wrestle with that within ourselves, we're rich in peace. Because his blood atones for us. His blood avails for me. And we're rich this morning. Because no matter what we've done or what we've been through or all those sorts of things, Christ has said, paid in full. And we'll never answer for that again. Because we're rich this morning in peace. And not only does this, we read in the Bible that it says the blood of Christ, we've been justified as we stand before him, which is fine. It says, just as if I'd never sinned. Standing before God, just as if I'd never sinned. But it's more than that. Because he doesn't just say, just as if you've never sinned. He says, just as if you've never sinned, fine. But now you're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The song that says, you know, Christ takes my sins to Calvary. There the great exchange takes place. He takes my sins and his righteousness is given to me. So we don't just stand before Christ in the throne of God as Christians filled with peace because all our sins have been forgiven. It's far more than that. We stand clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully atoned, fully justified, did you know what else? Adopted as his children. Because it says, doesn't it, Romans chapter 8, God says he's given us his spirit, which bears witness with our spirit, whereby we cry out, Father. Adopted into the family of God. I love the verse in 1 John chapter 3, which says, behold, look, stand amazed, what manner of love the Father has poured out upon you that you should be called the sons of the children of God. Doesn't that fill your heart with peace this morning? knowing that despite all that past washed away, despite all the things of yesterday and even today forgotten, standing before God now, and nothing can ever change that position. We stand justified, clothed in righteousness, adopted as children, welcomed into heaven when our time comes. That should fill you with peace in a world which is searching for peace. You and I have it in the Lord Jesus. How rich that you through his poverty might be rich. We're rich in peace. We're rich in power. Now often we struggle with that. When we read that Christ has come in and through him we're more than conquerors. And we think then as Christ has come into our life and changed us and filled us by his Spirit, we should sail through life. But it doesn't happen, does it? Are you like me still wrestling with the old man? I was going to tell the story, but I wasn't, because the first person who told me the story was Peter Parkinson. And it was the story of the Alsatian dog. Remember, it was so obedient until it went out to chase the lambs, the sheep, and the old nature reared up again. Oh, I find that a struggle. And yet Christ on the cross has conquered sin and death and hell, but we're still working with the old model, aren't we? And yet in Christ we have power. And we can call upon that power each and every day to sort of say, Lord, despite what goes on in my mind, despite what goes on in my actions, despite, give me the power to say no, to resist, to kick the devil into touch, and have that power which lives a life. And you know what? That peace and that power in our life says this. We might not feel it all the time, but be assured of this, which gives me peace, because the power of God within us, it says it doesn't matter what the world throws at us. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, things above, things below, nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. You might not feel it this morning, but think about what Christ has done. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Think about the peace that God gives you this morning. Think about the power which is available for us this morning. But thirdly, which should encourage our hearts, we're rich in prospect, because he's raised us up to heavenly places. John chapter 3 verse 16, the most famous verse in the Bible, that God so loved the world that we might have everlasting life. You know, we're rich in prospect this morning through Christ, because he's laid up for us heaven itself. 1 Peter chapter 3, which tells us about an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fading not away. And even though life is hard, and even though whatever we think or go through or whatever, whether in the fullness of health or we're in the depths of illness, you know, we need to remember, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, said Paul, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. And that's why I read that poem. Heaven itself will be filled of all those who are on earth. Many went through suffering and pain and hardship, but the prospect that awaits us all is a transformed and a glorified body, as we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a prospect of the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when you read that verse, that though he was rich, rich in his person, rich in his power, rich in purity, that though he became poor, poor in his birth, poor in his life, poor in his death, that we might be made rich, rich ourselves in peace and power and prospect. What does it say? For you know, when Paul wrote this message, he wasn't telling them something new, and nor am I this morning. For you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, we sang it. God's riches at Christ's expense. This is what grace is. G is for God above. R, reaching out in love. Amazing grace, so rich and free. Christ takes my sins to Calvary. There the great exchange takes place. His righteousness to me, that is grace. rich and free, undeserved, and given to me. For you know the grace. God reaches out in grace. The hymn writer, I think, got it right. When you think about God's grace, you know what he said? Say while lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Because there's nothing in us that would ever recommend us to God. Sinners by nature and by practice. And yet God reaches out and picks us in his love, changes us, calls us his children, and will take us to his home in heaven forever. That's grace, for you know the grace. And I love that, for your sakes, not for anyone else's, for those who read this word, that for you and me, God reached out. Christ died. Christ lives again. And his love will take us to heaven. Will we this morning, if we're children of God, give thanks for his grace, for his saving grace, for his keeping grace, for his power which brings us each and every day before that throne, for his mercies which are new every morning, for the blood which washes us and makes us clean every single day, and for the longing for that day when we shall stand before him and we will say, amazing grace, how sweet that sound. And when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That doesn't mean the day we begin singing it in heaven. It means the day we first begin singing it on earth, when he saved us by his grace. And we'll sing it then forever with myriads, countless angels. They won't sing the song of the redeemed, but we will. Countless saints, I should say, singing. But perhaps you don't know the grace of God this morning. Can I say to you, when you think about what God has done by sending his son into the world, it's for you. You. Think about it. And come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. For you know God's grace. You simply have to ask him, can I have that peace, forgiveness of sins? Can I have that power, a changed life? Can I have that prospect, a home in heaven? And the answer from the word of God is yes. Why? Don't think it's anything that you can do. Simply cast yourself upon the grace of God, which he gives freely to all who will believe. Amen.